Go ahead and get started. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to come together and look at your word. I pray you'll give wisdom during this time. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for Mrs. Savage being willing to speak later. I pray that all will be used in a very definite and effective way in our lives now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, for those of you visiting, we have been in a series on about a woman who reflects the heart of Jesus. And so we've been looking at many of the different attributes of Jesus that that you can find in his life. And our study has not been grouped by topics in the sense of there being a order to them. We've just gone with the book by Elizabeth George, and it's just alphabetical. So we are now on truthful. And so we're going to look today at this important topic, which is, I think, far more important than we realize. And it is something that maybe because we don't just straight out lie, we think it's not a problem. It is a subtle part of our human nature. And if we're not walking in the Spirit, the propensity to not be completely honest is right there all the time. And I think we need to realize that the flesh is the default position of any person who's not walking in the Spirit, no matter how long you've been saved. And that's where people run into trouble, because if you are not purposefully yielded to God for a period of time, you're capable of anything. And certainly one of the first things that comes along is the propensity to not be fully honest. So let's look at this in a new way today, and I trust it'll help us. Now, remember, truth is truth, and anything that is not reality or that which is true is then falsehood if it's said in a way that does not align with the truth. And it all comes from God. God is absolute truth, the truth that we know of in every realm, from the scientific realm to the revealed realm of the Word of God. Every bit of it comes from God. In Titus chapter 1, God cannot lie. John 4, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When Jesus was praying there in John 17, we have it up in our auditorium, thy word is truth. The Spirit of God in John 14 is the Spirit of truth. Jesus said about himself in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so when we look at the life of Jesus and his teachings and the entire Word of God, we are dealing with that which is 100% true and accurate. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know this is truth? When you come to that realization that the Word of God is true, it is such a comfort to your soul when you get a hold of that. And so Jesus' life was a life of truth. Everything he said was true. And it's so important that it is in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And that's a very key aspect. It's one of the basics. It's core to who we are. And so if you'll turn with me, if you have your Bibles handy, I don't normally have you turn to as many passages as I'm going to here today. But we need to see God's attitude about lying. It's one thing to know that God is truth. It's another thing to know that he wants us to speak truth. But it's very important for us to understand how he feels about it. Psalm 5, verse 6. If you want to turn there quickly, Psalm 5, verse 6. We read, if I can get to it here. All right. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. That is speaking of the fact that God destroys anyone who is not honest. Proverbs 12, verse 22. Proverbs 12, verse 22. All right. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. If you want to make a study sometime, go through the Old Testament and look at the things that God calls an abomination. And I'm telling you, that's what you want to avoid. And you find that listed several times in the Proverbs, that lying or speaking evil of someone, God considers an abomination. And remember, He calls idolatry abomination. The practices, the wicked pagan practices of the people of Canaan, an abomination. That's all a lie from Satan, by the way. But that's how God feels about it. I'm thankful I had a father who made it very clear to me as a little boy. He said, I'm going to discipline you about disobedience. I'm going to consistently work with you on doing right. But I want you to know one thing. God hates lying. It is an abomination, therefore I hate lying. And you're going to find that if you ever lie, this is going to be on another level. And it was on another level. We won't talk specifically about that, since this goes online, but it was done in full control. But I got the message pretty quickly. God does not like lying. And was that overkill as far as a parent? Absolutely not. And I would encourage all of you that have children in your home, you make it very clear. The one thing that will not be tolerated is any aspect of deceitfulness or lying. That's going to be dealt with strongly. It's going to have major consequences, and you will not be leaving this home until you are an absolutely honest person. It will change their life if they have that down. That is absolutely crucial. So that's how God feels about it. Now, the Lord Jesus, of course, is truth. Jesus is the Word, John chapter 1. So therefore, the Word is true, thy Word is truth, therefore He is completely truthful. Everything He said, and we all know that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But if you'll turn with me to John 8:44, then we see what He says about the source of lying because of the fall. Satan has taken over as the leader of the human race. That was what Adam was supposed to do. And so he is now the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world. However, the spiritual kingdom is now ruled by Christ. He's the second Adam, so that's an encouragement. But we've got to realize not only is it because we have fallen that there's a problem with lying, but look at who is behind lying. Look with me at verse 44 of chapter 8. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. Now note this last phrase, for he is a liar and the father of it. When you have the hypocrisy of our day, the slander of our day, the lack of truthfulness, you got to understand, behind that's a very strong spiritual power. And Satan he's just a liar. Every religion's a lie. Human philosophy is a lie. You think about child-rearing philosophies of modern America, it's all a lie. It's not truthful. It's the exact opposite of what is best. You know, this whole transgender situation, I feel so sorry for people that are just wrecked by it. It's a lie. God made us male and female, case closed. That's what the Bible says. And it just is amazing how Satan has brought that into the world. So you have quite a contrast. Satan is the father of lies, and Jesus is the truth, okay? And that's the difference between the world and a believer. We serve whom? The God of truth. The world serves whom? The God, the father of lies. So that's why, folks, when we talk about living a life that is separated unto God, that is close to Him, therefore very discerning about the world and not endeavoring to be intertwined with it, with the system that Satan has developed, it's a big deal. What concord has truth with lying? That's not exactly how that verse goes, but that's the idea. We are not to give credence to that which is falsehood. And that's why, to me, it's such a tragic thing when the world comes into the church with a lot of its lies about lifestyle, but churches come down to that level. What they have done is mixed lies with truth. And no wonder we don't have power. Churches have to be pristine in not only preaching the truth, but living out the truth in the way the church worships and how the people live. Now, folks, that's pretty simple, but it doesn't seem simple today, does it? We are so easily caught into, this is maybe a better way to do something. So truth is very important. The Lord made it very clear, as the Old Testament does, our yes is to be yes and our no is to be no. In other words, the one thing about it is when you say something, people need to know that's going to be truth. You're getting the whole story, not getting a half story. You realize it's an injury to somebody else when you lie. You have actually defrauded them of the truth. And so it is vital that as a testimony of the Lord Jesus, that since He is truth, you need to be known that you are going to be absolutely honest. Not two-faced or any other kind of way, but when somebody hears from you, they know that as best you know how, you are giving the truth. You don't really have a relationship if you don't have truth. You really don't. You don't have confidence in the respect of that relationship. So there's a lot of teaching, especially in the epistles, about truth. And I'd like us to turn now to Ephesians chapter 4. I often use this passage in talking about the relationship of husband and wife, which it beautifully can be applied. And yet it is in a broader context. And I want us to see this. The Old Testament is strong. You've got the ninth commandment. You have the abomination teaching about falsehood. But in the New Testament, it gets right down to very key aspects of the spiritual life. Ephesians, of course, deals with the reality of the church, that we're in the exalted Christ and all that the church ought to be. And then we read in verse 24 of chapter 4, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Often I talk about the fact that being born again means you're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. The moment you're saved, you're regenerated. You are a new creation. You are alive. And your spirit is now righteous and holy. That's such an important perspective. We still have the flesh, but we're a new creation, and that's a big deal. And because of that, the Holy Spirit can indwell this now new creation spirit that you have. And so that's the basis of the next verse here in chapter 4, verse 25. "Wherefore," all right, based upon the fact you ought to be living out the new man, "wherefore putting away lying." Pretty strong. "Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." There can be no unity in marriage, no unity in a family, no unity in a church, no unity in any other relationship if there is dishonesty. In pre-marriage counseling, I spend an entire day or a section on Ephesians chapter 4 with couples. And I talk about the fact that the depth of relationship is based upon truthfulness, especially when there are issues in the life. And so I'll come at the rest of the verses talking about when you have a problem, one, you know, with another, you know, how you've got to be honest, you've got to be open, you've got to be transparent. And, you know, basically dealing with the fact there's some kind of issue between the two of you and one spouse says to the other, "What's wrong, honey?" "Nothing. I'm fine." Well, that's a lie. That's just flat out a lie, you know, and that's all too common. And we're not willing to be honest and transparent, and so we live a lie. Now, in this passage, just let me say that it's very important. You need to be honest daily. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down in your wrath, neither give place to the devil. You let yourself get upset and not be honest with one another, Satan's going to get a hold of you if you don't deal with it before the sun goes down. And I like to make that a strong principle that I'm never going to go to bed with anything between my wife and myself, ever. And that's what I ask the young people to make as a commitment to one another, that will be a rule of their life. Then problems cannot develop, and Satan cannot gain ground. But isn't that in relationships too? You allow something between you and another person in the church, and you're not honest about it, and you act like everything's okay, but it's not, and you don't deal with it biblically. Think that Satan can get ground there? He does all the time. He does all the time. Same thing with your children, and maybe with your elderly parents or extended family or whoever. So it's important for us to speak honesty. But notice it cannot be done with wrong motive. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now this is very important. Back in chapter 4, if you look a little bit earlier, verse 15, but speaking the truth in what? Love. Honesty should never be harsh. It should never be cutting. It should never be putting down. All right, well, I'm going to, the preacher said I have to be honest about how I feel. Well, I want you to know, honey, you have been acting, No, that's not what we're talking about, okay, I've had people tell me, well, that's one thing about it. I am an honest person. I speak my mind. Yeah, well, your mind is corrupt, gentlemen or sir. We don't speak it. No, we speak it with grace. And you notice what the rule of thumb is, speaking the truth in what? Love. You speak the truth because you love the other person. The Spirit of God wants you to give them the truth for good reasons. And then verse 29, let how much corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth? None. But that which is good to the use of edifying, and note the last part of this, that it may minister, what? Grace, God's enabling power. Listen, every time you're honest, it's got to be where you have a personal revival. If you're upset about something, and you ask God to change your heart and give you the wisdom as how to be honest and try to find out what the problem is with the other person, but doing it in a way that they can tell you want the best for them. You want to be a blessing. Now, there's two different ways to say the same thing. There really is. And so there has to be the speaking the truth in love. Proverbs 15, verse 28, if you want to just go over there real quickly. Proverbs 15, verse 28 says, the heart of the righteous does what? Studies to answer. In other words, endeavors to figure out the best way to say something. But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Let me just say, a rule of thumb, folks, is you got to be honest about something that's difficult to talk about, but you never say anything when you're upset. Now, the rule of thumb that's really good is to follow is I've got to settle this relationship issue before the sun goes down. But that means I've got to learn how to have quick revival. I've got to learn how to really walk with God and have grace in my heart. And so when I then speak, I am making it clear that I really appreciate and love the person I'm talking to, and this is important for us to talk about. Would you help me so that I can think right about it? A soft answer does what? Turneth away wrath. And it is really important. Now, one of the things that you find, such as in Ephesians chapter 4, is that when bitterness is gone unchecked and issues are not honestly dealt with, and there's not real openness, there's hypocrisy, it's going to lead to different emotions. And back in chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 31, let all bitterness, that's that blaming of someone, it's that root in the soul, and initially it may only be the convincement that you've got problems because of someone else, and you're blaming them. That will lead to wrath, that's losing your temper. Anger is what we normally think of as bitterness, that deep resentment that seethes in your soul where you're thinking about it. Clamor is when you now say something. And then evil speaking is the word gossip. You go from saying something you shouldn't say to the person you're upset with to now saying something to people that have no reason to know about it. Now, it's the word from which we get slander and even the devil. And gossip, obviously, has two prongs to it. Number one, gossip can be saying something that maybe is truthful, but that person has no business hearing about it. Your motive is undercutting and hurting the person that you're talking about. Remember, you should never tell a person anything unless they are part of the problem legitimately or part of the solution. If that's not the case, then don't say it. Boy, a lot of problems would be solved if that was followed. But you know, unfortunately, many times you go from saying something that is true to the wrong person in the wrong way to adding to what's said and now becomes falsehood. Isn't that what happens all the time in the media and everything? I mean, you just, all this fake news stuff. Well, I hate to say it, we got a lot of fake news between people. It's a very easy thing to do. I tell you, God hates that. God hates it. Let me just say this. When you say something about somebody else, even if it's fairly truthful, the way you say it, if it's not of God, is not going to give the right impression of even what you said. It'll be a half-truth. It'll be a skewed truth. It will be, it'll have an evil motive. And so it does not fall into truthfulness. So we cannot be slanderers. And it's really bad when we on purpose say something negative and we know down deep it is not true. And I tell you, let me just say, whenever you gossip, you've got to get that right. You know, sometimes you may think something about somebody and you're negative in your mind, you reacted to them, but you never said anything or you didn't act funny. Well, don't go tell them you were thinking negative about them. That's the last thing they need to hear, okay? Just get right and be fine. But if you did talk to somebody that shouldn't have heard, you got to get right with the person you talked to, and you got to get right with the person you talked about. It could be that you're missing the blessing of God in your life because you haven't solved that. Don't go getting introspective, but on the other hand, when the Holy Spirit touches your heart, it's so hard. It is so hard, you know, go to someone saying, I've done it. You know, I was not wise. I said something, and I had no business saying it to that person. Would you forgive me? You know, but I'm telling you, it's the right thing to do. It's the only way you're going to get freedom. By the way, are your children the right people to say something negative about your husband? Absolutely the worst people, unless you're in a crisis and you have older adult children and it's appropriate, but that's not the common thing. Okay, so be careful about that. In fact, it is, as she mentions here, in 1 Timothy 3, it's a qualification of those that serve in the church. Titus also, Titus chapter 2. Ladies who have influence are not to be gossipers. Case closed. And so, you know, you may wonder why you don't have influence in the church. You know, it's very interesting. Not only does leadership have a sense that things aren't right, but everybody else does too. People aren't dumb. They know when they can trust you and not trust you. That's why you have a vote, for instance, for deacons. Because, you know, we might recommend a deacon, who obviously his wife has to be qualified, but the church will be the ones that let us know if we actually were accurate. They know. It's amazing. And so you want your testimony to be strong, and it's so important. Well, let me just finish up with, there's one other way to lie. It starts with an H and ends with a Y. Anybody want to guess that? Hypocrisy, thank you. Yep, living a lie. Acting like you're spirit-filled when you ain't. Okay, and you know you ain't. Excuse my English, but I'm trying to get the point across. Living a lie. Wanting people to think better of you than you really are. By the way, when you're walking with the Lord, you realize, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I just want God to be honored. When you're not right with God, you're really worried about what people think about you. That's a good way to know where you're at. If you walk around being concerned about what people think in a self-centered way, boy, that's not spirituality. You see, a person who's really walking with God doesn't have trouble asking someone to pray for them that they know because they've got a need. They're able to be open appropriately at a Bible study. They're able to do what they need to do to help people by being honest. So is honesty a big deal? It is a big deal. Honestly, folks, you cannot operate in your marriage, with your children, within the church, in any other relationship, you will not have a testimony with the lost if you are not impeccably, spirit-empowered, honest. And I'm telling you, you need to deal with that as brutally as you deal with anything in your life. That's one thing you're not being introspective about when you know you've been dishonest. Deal with it. Get it right if it needs to be gotten right, but do not allow it to control. Yes? Yes, ma'am. Just say, I sure enjoyed being here. Thank you for all the work you went to put into it. So you want me to be honest? Now, well, the thing about it is, if any of you ever invited me for dinner, it would be good. So I could be truthful.
Well,
so.
With tact, right?
Yeah. That's the big problem. Ladies have that problem all the time. But what is that? That's actually worried about ourselves. We say we're not wanting to hurt somebody, but we really, when it gets down to it, we want that relationship, and so we're afraid to be honest. But you know, there's some things that that you do have to be wise on. Like, that's really not very wise for somebody to ask you, how was the meal? I mean, that's just sort of, that's a tough deal, you know. You know, but you don't want to say, you know, it was pretty lousy, but I appreciate you inviting me over. That's got its own set of problems. So just say, thank you. This has been a wonderful time of fellowship. It really has, you know, and really enjoyed. That's not lying, you know. And sometimes you can be brutally honest and that's not what God wants. As far as saying things that really are not, you're not clearing up anything. So it's a balance on those kinds of things. So